Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road live from Florida in advance of Tennessee taking on Clemson in the Orange Bowl. Little Orange Bowl media day today, Joe Rex Road. Welcome back to the program. What did we learn today about the Tennessee Vols?
Yeah, so today was today is Tennessee defense, Clemson offense. Lot of conversation. I had a really good conversation with Tim Banks for a while there. They had them in breakouts, so they had their own little podiums, which is nice, rather than having some big press conference, which is so counterproductive. So I was very glad to see they did that. A lot of talk about for different things. You know, this matchup, Klubnik for Clemson, obviously the Vols are looking at him. So you've got to look at the freshman. As everybody saw, he replaced Uiagalelei in the championship game, and this is the way they're going. A lot of different topics of conversation. Maybe my favorite moment was Latrell Brumfus talking about the first day Joe Milton arrived on campus, and Latrell's like, "Oh, nice, we got another D lineman. Here we go." You know, like, actually, that dude's a quarterback. lots of legend of Joe Milton, many people talked. It wasn't Omari Thomas. Who the heck was I talking to? That was Tyler Barron talking about, you know, watching Milton throw from like his own 10 to the pylon in practice on a play. His own 10, and he hit the pylon with a throw. So it's like, okay, yeah, that's
90 yards.
Right. So I really hope we see this, and hopefully in this game or, you know, next year when Joe Milton is quarterback. I'm not kidding. Like, if you have the ball at your own 20 with 4 seconds left in the half, throw the Hail Mary. Like,
yeah,
you know, do it. I mean, I guess, you know, a coach might say, yeah, but the problem is if you get sacked there and you get a strip sack, it's an easy scoop and score or something like that. Okay, but I mean, you know that he can get it there, so why not utilize that? Like, it's a totally different – you may as well take advantage of the extreme advantages you have with him at quarterback. So hopefully we'll see that Friday night, a Hail Mary from your own 20.
I mean, look, the Vols came out with a video the other day of him throwing an orange over 100 yards. So
I saw that.
I mean, guy's got a cannon. There's no question about that.
I got to say, I was a little disappointed because, like, I was watching the video, and it's like, how far can Joe Milton throw an orange? And I'm like, so this is going to be like half a mile, right? I mean, 100 yards? Yeah, he can throw a football 100 yards. I mean, you tell me he can't throw an orange like 300 yards?
Well, get him like baseball, something with a little bit more mass to it, then we can really figure it out.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if you have, like, obviously down here, they've got some big oranges. You need like, that looked like just an average size orange. If you get like one of those monsters, or even like a grapefruit. What about a grapefruit? That's probably at least 2 miles.
So, in all seriousness, looking ahead to this matchup on Friday against Clemson, I asked Caroline about this earlier, but I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. From a program standpoint, what sort of an opportunity is this game against this opponent, a team that's done a whole lot of winning over the past decade, for Tennessee as a whole coming up on Friday? What's that opportunity? And then for Joe Milton specifically, when it comes to not only obviously this game, but next year as the starter quarterback for Tennessee, what's the opportunity for him in a game where, quite frankly, Joe, like, I thought against Vanderbilt, he wasn't very good. I know they won the game 56-0. I thought he missed a lot of throws in that game. What's the opportunity for the program as a whole, and then for Joe Milton specifically in this game on Friday?
Yeah. Well, I think I'd probably list him first in terms of like what's at stake for this game. I think it's not like the offseason isn't going to count. It's going to count a lot. And Joe Milton has a huge advantage. He has a big head start, and the guys on this team, there is no doubt, talking to a bunch of them, you know, the leadership, like, there's a lot of respect and love for Joe Milton. And honestly, that was even, go back to when he was at Michigan before he didn't play well. He lost his job to Cade McNamara. I mean, he was a leader on that team too. So, I mean, he's a natural in that way, but you still have to perform in a game. So I think I do think that with Joe Milton, like the inside the building view and the outside the building view, very different. And that happens sometimes. But the, like the fan base view, I think is like, maybe it's not as much because this year he has, I think, demonstrated some things that feel, I feel like you've seen some things as a Tennessee fan. It's like, okay, I can see it, but I agree. I don't think he played well. It's funny because talking to Alex Golish this week, and he was like, you guys have to understand. He's like it was so hard to throw a football that night. You know, it was wet. It was awful. And he still managed the game really well and made, you know, made, I was happy with how he played. Like, yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, he just missed some throws, and you're just, it goes back to those overthrows. If he misses a throw in any other way but an overthrow, then you're fine, right? Well,
that's the thing. Like, it's, you can talk to me about how hard it is to throw the football. When you overthrow a guy by 15 yards, you're not having much difficulty throwing the football.
That's true. This is true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, maybe I guess controlling it could be harder than that. But regardless, yes, it's big. It's a big deal for him. I think it, if he plays well and he can lead them into a win in this game, I think it's, again, it's bigger outside kind of, because like, I feel like the fan base would more embrace him being the starter. I mean, whatever fans always want the five-star freshman to start, right? It's all, I mean, Harrison Bailey was the absolute greatest quarterback ever. And how could he not be playing right now? I mean, yep. Jarrett Garantano, when he was still Garantano as a freshman, was like, oh, this guy's a fourth super dual threat. Come on. You know, and then you actually watch someone play. I mean, the unknown is undefeated. But Joe Milton, I think, has a big chance here to vault himself to what I do believe he'll start the season as a starter. I mean, if he doesn't, if you tell me he doesn't right now, one, I'm going to guess that he doesn't play well in this game, because I do think that at some point as a coach, you have to take into account practice is one thing, games are another thing, and also it would also mean that Nico has an amazing offseason. But this is also a big game for Tennessee. I mean, how much does it matter to finish in the top five? I mean, that used to be, I feel like everything feels less significant now because of the playoff. But you're talking about the biggest bowl game in decades.
Yep.
An opponent that's one of the top, you know, it's still one of the top, what, four elite programs in college football over the past several years. This is one of the top shelf programs, and a program that is taking some players from you that would have made a big difference, and you're going to compete with them in recruiting in the future too.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's big from that standpoint. And obviously the Milton thing speaks for itself, but like, if you finish the season and you beat Alabama and Clemson in the same year, like, think about telling a Tennessee fan that 3 years ago, beating Alabama and Clemson in the same year. And I realize it's not the same Clemson. They're not as dominant as they have been, and I get all that. Still a pretty darn good defense they've got, even with some of the opt-outs that have taken place. And you're 11-2 if you win this game. And there's always going to be, I think, a little bit of the what-if there. Like, what if you would have just won the game against South Carolina? What would that mean for Tennessee? I think you would have definitely been in the college football playoff at that point. But I mean, it is what it is at this point. 11-2, if you win the game, you're probably number five in the country. I mean, I think that's a big deal if you're Tennessee. So I'm really interested to see what happens, what their response is in this game. I mean, it's not going to have Jalin Hyatt. You're not going to have Cedric Tillman. So a big opportunity for the receivers. Brew McCoy will play, you know, Squirrel White in this game. They'll have some guys that, you know, are going to play big roles on this team next year, kind of get their firsthand look at it in elevated roles this time around. I'm interested to see what happens on that standpoint, but I do. I think this is a big game, and I'm not saying if you lose the game that just like the momentum of this season is taken away or anything like that. At the end of the day, it's a bowl game and you'd be 10-3, but I think Tennessee fans are pretty invested into the outcome of this game. I sense a lot of excitement for this one coming up on Friday.
Yeah, and it's, I guess I'm interested the other way, because sometimes you do have, I mean, you have the incentive difference from the teams, and sometimes that makes a difference. I mean, Clemson is used to, you mentioned Alabama and Clemson. This is the first playoff without either one of them, right? I mean, so we're used to both of them in it, certainly at least one of them in it. How much does this matter to Clemson? Probably, you know, for fans, I suppose when you have a rough year, you could still be the Orange Bowl champs. You probably like that idea, but still, I mean, it's when you're used to the playoff, this is down year for fans. For these players, You know, you have a new quarterback, and that's the thing too. I think this is obviously a quarterback game. Like, does Clemson have a quarterback development issue, or did they just misevaluate DJ Uiagalelei? And I've said his name perfectly twice in this segment. Thank you very much.
You have.
Yeah, I mean,
just
this
nailed it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's big from that perspective. Like, do they have the next guy? Do they have the next guy who can actually lead them back to where they expect to be? Or is there something deeper there going on, you know, at QB? I mean, that's what it's so much about for all these programs, you know, moving forward. I mean, tell me what kind of quarterbacking Alabama's going to get next year. They're going to be loaded, but right? I mean, that's what it's about, right? So in both of these cases, this is, you know, this is a year ahead for Clemson. They got their freshman who some people think he's going to be a star. He's playing now, and maybe it'll be the same kind of thing next year. Nico at some point takes over the job, but right now, I think it's Joe's job.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Tennessee and Clemson coming up on Friday in the Orange Bowl. How important is this game for Tennessee? What do you want to see from Joe Milton to make you comfortable with him being the starting quarterback in 2023? 615-737-1025. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Vols and Clemson coming up on Friday in the Orange Bowl. We'll get Joe's thoughts on the college football playoff matchups as well coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, on the Joe Milton front, it's going to be, I just looked at the weather, there's like a 35% chance of rain. It's Florida, so you always have a chance of rain coming up in this game on Friday. It's going to be about 75 degrees, so, I mean, it's going to be warm out there. Should be good conditions to throw the ball, move the ball for Tennessee. What do you need to see from Joe Milton on Saturday to feel good, or excuse me, on Friday to feel good about him heading into this offseason? And I'm not talking just a statistical number or anything like that, but what do you need to see from Joe Milton to convince you that you can feel pretty good about him being the starting quarterback next year?
Well, I mean, I think you need to see him, you know, consistently make quick decisions and be consistently accurate. And obviously every deep shot is going to be highly scrutinized, you know, and hey,
I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, every quarterback overthrows a deep ball here and there. And actually, maybe it would be key for him to just underthrow one. You know, how amazing would that be?
Brew McCoy have to run back to go get one? Just
yeah.
Come back around?
Well, I mean, like, I would – like, I'm trying to think, like, has Joe Milton – and someone can – I don't remember. Has Joe Milton, like, thrown, like, a back shoulder deep ball at any point? You know, is that a thing? Do they –
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But, the thing is, I bet you, this year he's probably thrown, probably three or four at least, right? Perfect ones, right?
Yeah.
And some of those, yeah, like, fantastic. So, I think he's worked on it. He's figured out how to put more air under it, but it's still, there's still just this in-game. And, like, you just wanted to see him have command. And this is something they talk about here too. Coaches talk about, and we'll get Joey Halsley tomorrow, who, by the way, I fully expect to be named Tennessee's offensive coordinator. I wouldn't be surprised if they name it the next day. That would be my expectation. I mean, the fact that he's talking tomorrow, I don't know why they'd wait, but I fully expect him to be offensive coordinator. And if he wasn't offensive coordinator here, I think he would be Alex Golish's offensive coordinator right now at South Florida. But you know, those guys talked about Joe Milton as a runner has actually been a big change since he's gotten here. He's a much better runner. And so and that's an important thing. I mean, it's a huge thing with Hendon Hooker. They're different kinds of runners. Hendon Hooker is much quicker and more elusive, you know, in terms of eluding a pass rusher and, you know, shiftiness and stuff like that. But Joe Milton can be a very effective runner too. And that's got to be a part of, I mean, if he's going to be a really good player next year and they're going to have a chance to win those big, big games, that's got to be a part of it. So I'd say the whole game on display is what you want to see. from him. And you want to see, obviously, a good connection with, he's going to be throwing to Brew McCoy next year. He's going to be throwing to Squirrel White next year. And we'll see who else. I mean, look, Ramel Keaton, too. Ramel Keaton is going to be back next year.
Yeah.
I mean, Ramel Keaton was good this year when he had a chance. I mean, people dismiss him because he's kind of like the older and he's not as explosive as some of these guys. He's still pretty good.
He's going to be the start. He will start next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's probably McCoy, Keaton, and White next year, right? And the thing is, as we know, as we've talked about, then Josh Heupel likes to have three. And then they have depth. And obviously, depth was important this year because Keaton came in. And White has made some plays. But if they stay healthy, they'll probably get, like, a vast majority of the snaps this year. Now, I do think that there are people like Chaz Nimrod is a guy who there's a lot of excitement about him. So, yeah, is it possible, like, a Keaton could be overcome at some point? Possibly, you know. You're gonna have some fun with that
name
too, Robbie.
Yeah. Never wanted a player to be better in my life than I do Chaz Nimrod. I need him to win the Biletnikoff.
Nimrod and Squirrel
yes.
out there together. How are you gonna contend with that SEC defenses?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. I mean, really, Joe hit it. I think everybody, most of Tennessee fans, are going to say they need to see Joe Milton be accurate. And if it's not at least improved, the first interception he throws in the 2023 football season, they're going to be calling for Nico.
Hey, thanks for the call. Well, look, that's the thing. Like, you can play as well as you want to play if you're Joe Milton on Friday, and I think it's important that he does. But I will say, like, if he starts the season off next year and he's struggling a little bit, even if they're winning games and he's struggling a little bit, I mean, you talked about it, Joe, the five-star quarterback, the unknown, is undefeated. There will be Tennessee fans calling for Nico at some point next year. I have no doubt.
Yeah, and look, I mean, obviously that's just how it goes. Again, I mean, Harrison Bailey was going to be the greatest quarterback ever. And then we're like, why is Harrison Bailey third on the depth chart? I mean, like, when, you know, like last year, it was like, well, why would Hendon Hooker be the choice? You know, we know he's nags, whatever, any attack. Well, you know, coaches kind of have more information, but beyond fans with Nico, it's just an interesting test of, I think most quarterbacks who come in like that are realistic, and most do get that year. Ideally, you get that year and you don't get thrust right into it. But it'll be interesting too. And it's obviously with the NIL thing and everything. I feel like, you know, like if Nico, like if you told Nico and his family, like, you know, Joe Milton this year, and then you'll, you know, of course, you know, if you're a quarterback of this level, you expect in 3 years to be ready. Like, you expect to be a 2025, wait, no, a 2026, right?
Correct,
you know,
yes.
2020, you expect to be a 2026 top 10 pick, you know? And I have no idea if he's that good. Who knows? DJ Uiagalelei was supposed to be the number one overall pick, and he went to Clemson. And so we see him now, and it's like, will he take a snap in the NFL? I don't know about that. So who knows? But if you told Nico and his family, basically this year you can learn Joe Milton's a quarterback, and then the next 2 years you're the starter and you can be a superstar and all that stuff, I think they'd probably take that, right? But who knows, man? Look, people like to play early too. And there are people who think he's the best quarterback in the class. If you're the best quarterback in a class, then you should be a top 10 type pick after 3 years. I mean, I have seen some video of Nico throwing the ball in practice. Looks pretty good.
Looks good.
It looks pretty good.
Go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
I want to call him Geno Milton because that's what he ultimately wants to be. He wants to be Geno Smith at the college level. Like, we've already seen him suck, but we know he has potential. So let's see him in the bowl game be Geno Smith. That would be cool. I'm just really disappointed in this football season as a whole, man. And it's not necessarily like exactly what's happened. It's where we are right now. The Titans have a chance to do something in the postseason, and we're sitting here probably fixing to watch a preseason game. The Vols were amazing this year. We're not watching any of the star. Like, it just, I don't know. It feels like we're in August. It sucks. Like, I want to start over and go through the fun parts again, man. I feel like We're at a very depleted part for both teams.
Well, I think Friday could be fun, Adam. Just hang in there.
Could it?
I think it could be fun.
Could it? I don't know, man. Like, I'm feeling like, I guess it's like my daughter comes to me Monday morning and she starts telling me she just feels sad. I'm like, yeah, it's the post-Christmas blues. Everybody has it. Maybe this is like post-football blues. Like, I'm already feeling it before it's even over.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Look, I can't really help it much, Joe, with the Titans part of it. Like, I don't know where the help comes from with the Titans. I think it's got a chance to be a good game coming up on Friday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And again, this is a big part of why I was for the expanded playoff, because it's just so weird how you go from BCS to four, and I swear that like games like this instantly meant so much less. At least that's how it feels to me. Even going back, someone of my age who, let's say this was just the old days and it was, you know, Tennessee, Clemson, and the Orange Bowl. I guess that wouldn't have happened because you'd have to have the Big Eight, you know, involved in it. But a huge bowl game, and, you know, you have a chance to finish in the top five in the rankings. You don't have a chance to be voted number one, but it's huge. Like, these games are huge. Like, everybody was watching the Orange and the Rose and the Fiesta and the Cotton and the Sugar, you know? And it's just – now it's just like, are you in the playoff or are you out of the playoff? But I'm with you. Like, I think this is an exciting game. I mean, again, top five is a major, major achievement if this team can get it. 11 wins is a major achievement if this team can get it. And again, I think the extra bonus is you're getting a real look against a defense with some future pros on it, even with the opt-outs, like you said, Robbie. They got some good players. And the defense, you're going to see potentially your quarterback for next year. And it's going to be hard for him to match what Hendon Hooker did, but he's – Hendon Hooker said last year, going into the year, he said Joe Milton's going to be the best college football player in the country in 2023. So I'm just saying.
Meltdown? Is that where we're going with? Meltdown for Milton?
It may be. Maybe, that's right.
Just saying.
You can, I'm trying to think. May have to stink for May. Will stink for Williams? I don't remember. What did we talk about?
Will have to stink for Williams. Yeah.
May have to stink for May. And then, yeah, meltdown for Milton. Yeah. Top three quarterbacks right there. 1, 2, 3.
Coming up next, we'll get Joe's thoughts on the college football playoff semifinals coming up this weekend. Also take a look at some NFL headlines around the league, including a coach that has been fired that Joe Rexroad may get credit for a called shot for. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Preds Pick the Clip coming up here in just a few minutes, so looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, the college football playoff underway this weekend. Georgia and Ohio State, TCU taking on Michigan in the semifinals. What do you make of these two games, and do you think these two will actually be close games coming up this weekend in the semifinal round of the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm rooting for. You know, I'm rooting for two good games. I feel like if Georgia plays its best, and I mean, you could look at that game and make the case for a top five quarterback and a receiver who, I mean, he could be – he won't be the number one pick because it'll be a QB in 2024, I'm sure, right? But, like, he's a top five receiver pick a year later.
Oh, yeah.
who might sit out next year. And other really good talent. You know, Henderson, they getting him back at running back, that's a big deal for Ohio State. Like, you can make – Ohio State's loaded. So you could make a case for Ohio State showing up and playing its absolute A game. And I think if Ohio State does that, plays its absolute A game, then I think we can have a game there. But I also feel like Georgia is clearly the best team and has been that team that when the big game, when it's like, let's see your best, they've been able to produce it. So it's like if they both have their A game, I think Georgia wins by, you know, 10 points, 14 points, something like that. And obviously if Ohio State doesn't come with its best, it could be ugly. Michigan TCU is a harder game for me to project. You know, I think most people expect a Michigan route, and I certainly could see that happening. But TCU has been so beyond expectations consistently all year. They do have a special kind of, you know, thing going about it. Of course, then they lose the last game, so then you lose a little bit of that pixie dust. But I don't know. I mean, Michigan runs the football so well, is so physical, has such a good offensive line. Can TCU hold up against that and put them in obvious passing downs? Like, you know, obviously McCarthy was great against Ohio State, hit those deep shots. But, you know, they still haven't had to lean on him a ton this year for the most part. And in some instances, he hasn't played all that well. I mean, they've just dominated people with their defense and run game. Can TCU make it obvious passing? And that's one thing Michigan doesn't have, like, overwhelming receivers. You know, they have good receivers. They don't have, like, guys like Ohio State has, you know. I just – can TCU's defense stop the run? They don't have – Michigan doesn't have Blake Corum, but Donovan Edwards is a special player too. And, again, the offensive line, I think it's 2 years in a row they've won the Joe Moore Award for top offensive line, and that's a huge part of what Harbaugh has done to finally get this program to, you know, the promise of when he was hired, is they play bully ball about as well as anybody right now.
Called shot Tuesday, TCU with the upset. TCU wins against Michigan outright.
Wow.
Hey,
I'm calling it. I feel Max Duggan with it coming on. I know Kenny hates me now.
Come on, dude. Because
Kenny's a big Michigan fan.
Yeah, we were friends 5 seconds ago, bro.
We were doing so well, and then I just totally ruined it. Called shot, Joe. TCU takes down Michigan.
That is a shot. That is a shot. Well, again, like, I can see a path for TCU making this a game. And Duggan is great, man. I mean, look, they're tough to defend. So I do think that they can score some points in this game. I mean, Michigan has a good defense. They're not, they're not overwhelmingly talented. They're good. But that is a shot. TCU actually winning the game, that is a shot. You know, it'd be an amazing story. I also think, like, all the TV people would be just miserable if that were to happen, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
I'd be happy.
Because, you know, Michigan-Georgia rematch from last year is attractive after what Georgia did to Michigan. And obviously Michigan-Ohio State would be wild, you know, rematch in the national title game. TCU, anyone in the national title game is like, wah, wah. But it'd be an amazing story.
It would be. Kenny's not having it. Joe, some NFL headlines. Nathaniel Hackett fired yesterday by the Denver Broncos. So he makes it less than a full year into his first season as head coach of the Denver Broncos. They got absolutely destroyed the other night on Christmas night by the LA Rams. It was unbelievable to watch what happened in that game. And that was apparently the final straw for the Broncos ownership. Nathaniel Hackett, less than one and done with the Broncos. And you kind of called the shot, you know, basically after his first game that he probably should be fired. And now the Broncos have followed suit.
Yeah, they fired him way too late, man. You gave him way too much time as a head coach. That first game, if you would have taken my advice after the first game, you would have, by now, you'd know exactly what direction you're going. Now you have to scramble and get in the mix with everybody else. Now, it's amazing that we're talking about two in-season, debut season firings, back-to-back seasons. I mean, it doesn't happen, really, hardly all, right, in the NFL. And we got two straight years of that for different reasons. I mean, Urban Meyer was such a disaster off the field and with all the distractions. Hackett has just been, again, like, I'm not kidding. Like, that, what he did with the clock in that first game, I was like, that guy can't be in charge. Like, that guy can't be in charge of a football team. Like, you can't seriously do what he did there. And it's just gotten worse and worse. I mean, I feel like this firing is also an acknowledgement that he was only hired to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, kind of,
you know,
that way. Yeah,
like if they actually believed in him fully when they hired him, you know, they're crappy, they're bad, and Russ is bad, and so you could easily make excuses for him and, God, give the guy a couple years, you know. But this basically to me signals one, ownership issues in Denver. Okay.
Yeah.
And that basically they just were hoping this would be the Aaron Rodgers pixie dust. And by the way, now your guy might be in the playoffs. How about that?
Yeah, we'll see what happens on that front. Look forward to Nathaniel Hackett's return to Green Bay as like the assistant quarterbacks coach. Looking forward to that one coming up. I will say, and Orlovsky said this yesterday on ESPN, and I think the more I think about it, I agree with him. He called it the most or the least attractive job in the NFL right now, the Denver Broncos. Just given the fact that Russell Wilson, you're stuck with him. The contract is what it is. I mean, look, you can blame a lot of this on Nathaniel Hackett. I agree with you. I think it was pretty clear that he wasn't ready to be an NFL head coach. To me, a lot of this is on Russell Wilson being absolutely terrible too. And I maybe the coaching change, whoever the next hire is, helps that. And Russell Wilson looks more like he's looked over the course of his career. But man, does he look bad. And I can't believe that that's been all coaching, that Russell Wilson looks as bad as he looks.
Yeah, it's a really interesting case study in like coaching and how much it matters for a player. Because I agree, he looks terrible. And he's had injuries and he's getting older, but I mean he shouldn't have lost his fastball this much as a player, right?
I wouldn't think so.
But yeah, it's going to be really interesting because this next hire is all about, like you said, you're stuck with him. So who can get the most out of him? Two years ago, through a half of that season at least, and probably a little more, he was the MVP of the NFL.
Yeah.
In the 2020 season, he was, and it faded, and he faded, and he got hurt. And again, that's been part of the thing, is that he's had various injuries, but he was like the best player in the NFL. That was 2 years ago. And now he looks like a bottom 10 starter in the league. But again, yeah, how much? Because the thing is, I definitely hear that on worst job, but there are some pieces there. And that's where it's like you said, like, to go out and just get destroyed the way they did in this game by a bad football team,
yeah,
tells you that's a team that actually has just packed it in. So I agree, like it looks like a rough job, but also I think some coaches might look at it and say, okay, I actually like would Sean Payton. I don't think he's going to take – I think Sean Payton would rather Brandon Staley be fired, and who knows, Brandon Staley had Dean Spanos. Oh, come on, Dean, let's save you the team. You're not going to fire me. I got us in the playoffs. I mean, that's like – I think everybody thinks Sean Payton wants that job, but would Sean Payton look at this job and say, you know what? I think Sean Payton's ego does not seem small. You know, if I go in there and fix Russ, you know, what is that? What is that? What kind of opportunity is that? They do have some other good pieces. Yeah.
He's the betting favorite to land the job. And that doesn't mean anything, but he's the betting favorite.
If they get him, then good for them. I mean, that if they get him and it doesn't look good, then you know it's Russ.
Joe, the other piece of news yesterday in the NFL quickly that I want to get your thoughts on, the Dolphins announcing that Tua Tagovailoa is back in the NFL concussion protocol, and he was put in the protocol yesterday. So that means he played the entirety of the game on Sunday against Green Bay and was put in the protocol yesterday. Now, obviously, Tua has had some concussion issues so far this year, and the Dolphins staff/training staff has come under a lot of fire for how they handled the Tua Tagovailoa situation earlier this year. And here we are yet again. He's back in concussion protocol and was informed on Monday, apparently informed the team, that he was feeling some symptoms about the concussion. So another situation, number one, with his health, what's this going to mean long term? But number two, apparently the Dolphins either not recognizing or the NFL not recognizing what was going on at the time, and he played the whole game.
Yeah, and I've seen the play that I guess people think might have done it, which is he kind of got thrown to the ground. I mean, look, that's supposed to be NFL spotters, all right? I guess you could look at that play and say, why didn't a spotter signal that? But if he popped right up, goes to the sideline, and he's just playing the game, like, I mean, I don't mean to make excuses for people, but I think that everybody's alert is real up, especially with him. And if he gave no indication during the game, and that play, if anybody's seen the replay, like, yeah, you got thrown to the ground, but I mean, it happens all the time to quarterbacks. Is it different for him? Yeah, I mean, I guess I think like a spotter maybe should be just more sensitive with him in particular, I guess, but So I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting. You know, you want to hear more information on how it all worked out. But like, the bigger picture with him is like, man, you know, how much do you worry about him being able to keep going in this league? You know, you get enough of these, and you just are just possibly just more prone to getting concussed. It's too bad, because obviously it's been this amazing season for him and them, although that's fading now, but. It's too bad if this you have to think that his long-term viability in this league is in jeopardy right now.
Yep, no question about it. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick the Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal score for the Predators tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning. It's that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. The Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight, so looking forward to that contest tonight. Big game for the Predators. Really need to get this one tonight. As Max Hurst said a little bit earlier on one of the promo reads here on the show, lots of road games coming up for the final home game of 2022 tonight for the Nashville Predators. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. And Joe, some development in the standings after the last time out. The listeners and myself tied atop the leaderboard at 7 correct answers apiece. I'm on a heater in this competition right now. Joe Rexrode with 6 correct answers and Michelle Knezovic with 5. Correct answer. So some changing of the guard taking place. Joe Rexrode, your response?
Very disappointing. And I guess I'm just never going to pick Philip Forsberg again.
I guess not. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Terry from Murfreesboro. Terry, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to go with Yakov Trenin.
Yakov Trenin, the selection from Terry. Terry, appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
So Terry going with Yakov Trenin tonight, Joe Rexrode.
Deep cuts.
Deep cuts. I like it. Hey, got to get a little creative sometimes when things aren't going your way. I'm up next in the competition. Do I stay with Matt Duchene? He's on a heater. I think I'm staying with Matt Duchene. I'll go Matt Duchene tonight for the Preds in their pick to click. I think he scored 4 games in a row. So I'll ride it out with Matt Duchene here while he's on the hot streak. Trenin, Duchene off the board. Joe Rexrode, you're up next in the competition.
I mean, I just said I'm not going to take Philip Forsberg, and now I might take Philip Forsberg. man, I don't know. Like, when's the last time Forsberg scored a goal?
It's been a minute. The Winnipeg game, he scored.
He scored in the Winnipeg game. That's right. Yep. It's not like it's because, you know, obviously Forsberg, very streaky. It has hot, has heaters, and he has colders too. But he did score not that long ago. All right. I'll go Forsberg.
You're going Forsberg. That was a very gut-wrenching decision that Rexrode had to come to there.
That was hard.
Michelle Knezovic is up next, and she has texted in her pick. And I think this is a good one, and I considered it strongly, because he's playing very well. Cody Glass, the selection from Michelle Knezovic. Cody Glass playing really well lately. Had another great assist the other night for the Predators, so I like the way that he's playing. So Cody Glass, Michelle Knezovic's pick to click in the competition. The pick to click results, Yakov Trenin from Terry from Murfreesboro calling in. Matt Duchene, my selection, Philip Forsberg, Joe's selection, and Michelle going with Cody Glass today in the competition. Preds taking on the Stars tonight. I have to say, that's probably the first time that Yakov Trenin has been the number one overall pick this year.
Yeah, right? I would think
I like
so.
It.
Well, we've had some interesting ones. We've had Colton Sissons picked by the, I know for sure, by the caller. But yeah, I don't think Trenin's ever had the honor. He's been picked before, but he hasn't been picked by the caller before.
Yeah, well, that's why you leave things spiced up in this competition. Preds Pick the Click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. So, Joe, you said it. You know, you beat last week Edmonton, and then you took down Chicago, and you were pretty consistent on this last week. You needed to win one of the next two, be that against Colorado or be that against the Dallas Stars. Taking on the Stars tonight, you had Colorado kind of right where you wanted them the other night. You're up 2-0. And really, from the second goal the Predators scored on Friday night for the remainder of that game, Colorado pretty much dominated from that standpoint. You got it to overtime, and then you lost the game in overtime. So at least you got a point out of it, but need to come away with a win tonight, I think, against the Stars. You're looking at the standings right now. You're at 33 points. I mean, you're still 6 points out of the closest playoff spot right now. Now, granted, Calgary occupies that last spot, and they played 3 more games than the Predators had to this point. So the games in hand is a factor for the Predators here, but you need to come away with 2 points tonight at home against a very good Dallas Stars team.
Yeah. And obviously that, you know, right away, they kind of gave us a glimpse of what both teams were going to be when they played, you know, at the beginning of the year. Right. And, This would be a big win. They've been one of the most impressive teams this year, surprisingly impressive teams. And you got to get some of these. You got to get some of these against your division rivals, a team that's playing really well. The Mulligans are slim right now for the Preds. So if you're going to make any kind of move, these are the games you win.
These are the games you win. And, you know, the Colorado game the other day, Joe, I mean, I thought they started really well. Johansson gets the goal. Duchesne gets the goal. By the way, Johansson gets the power play goal. So results-wise, the power play starting to come along a little bit. I know there was really nowhere to go but up from where they were a couple of weeks ago into last week, but they have started to generate a little bit of momentum on the power play. Still a lot of work to do, but you get the goal, and then you just basically got into a track meet after that. I mean, I know the game went to overtime, but the final shots were Colorado had 46 shots and the Predators had 39. So it was kind of like fire wagon open hockey out there. And I don't know that that's the best strategy for the Predators.
No, I mean, it's the entertainment value is high. So
I
approve of it. Yeah. But and probably not exactly how they want it to go. It's tough to play as well as they did, you know, and then not get the 2 points for a lot of that game and not get the 2 points, but there are some signs, and even obviously when they were starting to, they played better a little bit 5-on-5, power play not coming along. Now, if that's actually showing signs of life, you know, you can make a case for why this team could start, you know, going in the right direction here. But you've got that situation of you got to beat the better teams. You got to get more wins against the better teams. You are getting the wins against most of the teams you should beat, but you got to start beating some of these better teams.
Well, the one thing that I will say that was a concern earlier this year, and both the traditional numbers and the analytical numbers are starting to get back to what you expected. Like UC Saros has figured it out. Whatever struggle that he was going through at the first part of the year, he's fine. He's figured it out now. He looks like vintage Saros really over the course of the last 2-3 weeks, but I mean, the numbers on him lately have been very, very good.
Yeah, it's almost like, I don't know, with him, it's like just load up on your backup in the first month of the season. I mean, no one's ever going to do that. It's like my plan of Derrick Henry of, like, just don't give him any first quarter carries, you know, just wait until and then give him all the carries in the second half. No one's ever actually going to do it, but it's I know this year's different because he was coming off the injury. I think that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of adjustment from there and everything. But, yeah, he looks terrific. So, you have Saros. You have your overall play, maybe the lineup's, you know, solidifying a little bit, getting a little healthier. Power play actually looks like there's a little bit of a clue. You know, that's a lot of things that are going in a preferred direction right now. Got to translate into the wins.
This is always one of my favorite hockey days of the year because some wacky stuff happens today. I mean, they played Friday. And then you have basically the roster freeze, the pause from Saturday until basically this morning. So nobody's played the last 3 days, haven't even been on the ice practicing. I'm really interested to see what this looks like. Probably going to be a longer morning skate this morning, get things ready to go. But typically watching like the league over the past few years, since this roster freeze has been in there, these games coming out of the break can be a doozy. Can be a little weird out there.
Yeah. Little wacky. Yeah. So maybe Cody Glass power play.
Maybe so.
Called shot.
I respect it. Preds taking on the Stars tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop will be at 7 o'clock in that game. Pre-game at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Tennessee Titans, back into the Malik Willis discussion as well. Had a lot of good thoughts on that in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll take more of your thoughts right now at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game.